Katie Lee, as I mentioned, is speaking at Taylor on November 7th, and she's been a part of the voiceover community since 1981. Since 1987, she's been the voice of Connie Kendall in the worldwide radio show Adventures in Odyssey. Katie has also starred in the Emmy Award-winning Muppet Babies cartoon series, Darkwing Duck, Dungeons & Dragons, and Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears. Katie is best known for creating children, teen, and character voices, but she can sound like a grown-up, too. Katie Lee, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Do you mind if I ask you how old you are?
I'm 53 this year.
Are you really?
Yep.
Now, when you were a child, what did you dream of doing when you grew up?
When I was a child, I thought I was going to be a teacher or a secretary, or maybe a stand-up comedian, because... I loved Lily Tomlin and Goldie Hawn and all those great ladies on TV, but I also really liked to work office equipment.
Really? That's sort of an interesting dichotomy there.
Yes, it is. That's eclectic.
I would say. So take us on the journey, Katie, from graduating high school to becoming a working voice actress. Did you go to college?
Yes, I did. I went to 5 different colleges, as a matter of fact, but... I did. I graduated from San Francisco State with a degree in broadcast communication arts. Yeah.
And when you did that, what were your plans?
I thought I was going to be a producer.
Okay.
I thought, some kind of producing. That was my idea. But when I was in college, I was also sort of dabbling in voiceover a little bit. So by the time I graduated... I decided, well, maybe I'll give this voiceover thing a try, and if that doesn't work, then I'll be a producer.
And it's interesting to me, Katie, that you would think of producing first, because that's a more of a behind-the-scenes role as opposed to being the talent portion of it that people, you know, really notice because they're the ones that are doing the acting or the speaking.
That's true. That's because I'm kind of shy, and that's why I'm well suited for voiceover. I'm behind a microphone. People don't see me. I never really did theater in school or college. I didn't do it at all because I felt like that didn't appeal to me. But like I said, I loved all this. You know, I used to do characters. I appreciate character acting and voices, mm-hmm. and I guess I realized I sort of had talent for it. I have a friend who says when he was a kid, he had all these voices in his head. When he grew up, he got them all jobs, and that's kind of the voice actor story.
That, you know, that's true for Robin Williams as well. You know, only child and played a lot by himself almost all of the time, and, you know, did all these different character voices and interacted with himself that way. What was your first job as a voice actress? Do you remember?
Yeah, my first union job was in San Francisco, and the way I got into the union, I had an agent, but there wasn't a lot going on, but I actually did a little voiceover that accompanied a film strip. I don't even know if your audience knows what film strips are, because there's no film strips anymore, but it was on film, and it was like showing slides to the Hawaiian Punch company. It was like the ad agency's pitch for a campaign, and I did the voiceover, and because that was in film, mm-hmm. that's how I got to join the Screen Actors Guild.
So what does it take, Katie, to be a working voice actress, to be successful at it?
Well, one of the things that I like to tell people is, just like a good musician needs to be able to sight read music, a voice actor needs to be able to pick up a piece of copy and just read it. You have to be a good reader, be able to read out loud. You have to be able to get into character without a whole lot of preparation. So, you know, like you mentioned Robin Williams, we usually keep some characters in our back pockets and we pull them out, you know, as we become our own casting director, what, you know, characters suited for this role. I think you have to be able to take direction, absolutely, and be happy when the director is happy, and not try to control everything. You have to be able to do things about a million, zillion, trillion times if that's what the director needs and still be happy about it. Let's see, I got a... There's a lot of things. I think you have to be familiar with current events and a lot of different topics. You know, I said I'm eclectic. I think it really helps to have a sort of a know a little bit about a lot of things, so when you're talking, you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Give me an example of that, Katie, because that sounds a bit surprising to be up on current events. How does that connect to being a good voice actress?
Well, voice acting isn't just limited to animation. I mean, there's radio, you know, commercials, there's industrial things where you're narrating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now with the internet, there's a lot of websites that need people to narrate and do voices for. So when you get even, you know, okay, let's just take Adventures in Odyssey. It's so funny. I walked into the studio one day, and there was one of the shows was all about a driving trip that Connie took with a character named Joanne, and they drove from Odyssey to Washington, D.C. And there was all kinds of sights that we saw along the way. And it just so happened, the writer didn't even know this, 2 weeks before that I had driven the same exact route. So when we got to the Monongahela River, everyone was surprised I knew how to pronounce it. But I had been there and paid attention to how it was pronounced, so I was ready to go. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yes. Do you also have to be uninhibited, because you said you're a bit shy in real life?
That we use our bodies for sure when we're voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess I don't have to worry about how people see me. I have to worry about how it comes across in my voice. So I'm focused on that one thing and not how I look. So I'm not self-conscious, as if, you know, if I were on stage, I'd
yes.
be more self-conscious about how I'm moving and what I'm doing. And when I'm behind the mic, it's like, okay, you know, whatever it takes, if I have to punch somebody, I'll have to, you know, punch my arm, but I don't have to worry about accidentally hitting somebody else because there's nobody else there.
Which I've heard before, and I always find that really interesting. It seems that it would work against an actor, a voice actor or actress who's recording something, and they're doing their piece by themselves, rather than having the person that they're actually speaking to in the same room, so you actually get to have interaction.
Well, it always does help if there are other actors in the piece that you're doing, to have them there with you. I mean, there's nothing better than to have the other actor there and you can make eye contact. But I think it's a part of voice acting to be a storyteller, to be able to see it in your head. And so you kind of already, you know what it is, you're envisioning it as you go mm-hmm. along. I don't have to see it because I've got, you know, like, same example, you know, Robin Williams or reading stories out loud when you read them to your kids and you do voices, you've got an idea of what's going on. So you don't have to interact. I guess it's maybe kind of a introverted, selfish profession now that you put it that way. I don't know.
No, it just takes a good imagination, and it is a disciplined vocation, because when you're being paid to do what you do, Katie, and you know this, it doesn't matter whether or not you feel like doing it or how many times it takes you to do it to get into character. That's your job, and that takes great focus to do. It's, I think one of the misconceptions is that voice work is easy to do. You just go in and read.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people say, you know, I can do a lot of funny voices. Maybe I should be a voice actor. And it's not just creating the voices. You have to, you know, you can imitate somebody, but that's not the same as picking up a script and being able to apply it and put yourself in the scene and to act.
And to bring it to life.
There really is an acting part of voice acting. And you're right. I mean, it's like any performer, you know, if you go see a band and the singer of the band could have had a fight with his girlfriend before he went on stage, but he better do a good job when he's up there and entertain. And the same thing with, you know, and it's amazing. I mean, and I bet you experience this, Lynn. You know, when you get behind the mic, you have to be you. And you do that, and then you worry about the other stuff when you're done working, right?
Well, you know, and it's surprising how many listeners have said to not just me but to other staff members that you always, all of you seem so happy all the time. Well, we're not happy all the time, but if you tuned in and we let the difficult sides of our lives spill over onto the air, it'd be messy every day, and you would say, you know what, I don't want to tune in and hear that. You know, so you put those parts of your life aside and do and go into your job and do it well.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, this gives me an opportunity to insinuate a scripture verse that really helps. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if ever I'm feeling kind of bummed or whatever, I just have to think, you know, I can go into a situation being weak, or I can go into that situation being strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't going to give me any strength to be unhappy, but it will, you know, empower me to be joyful. It sort of sounds paradoxical, but it works. And you can turn it. I mean, anybody knows this. It's mm-hmm. not just voice actors. Talk to anybody who's, you know, yelling and screaming at their kid and the phone rings and all of a sudden, hello. They can change it if they want to. We have a choice.
You said something that really intrigued me. You said that character actors like Robin Williams and yourself keep a character in their back pocket. Does that mean that when you're at home or you're not working on a job, that you actually create characters and sort of work them out so you've got them ready to go if you need them?
Yeah, I think we do, either consciously or subconsciously. I work with a lot of kids when I'm not doing voice acting, and since I do kids' voices, when I run into somebody with a really interesting voice, I might kind of secretly record them, or I just take mental notes of how they, you know, talk and keep that character in mind. Or if I see, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, right? So I learn some tricks and ideas about characters from other people, but it's not about, you know, being a dead-on impersonator, but mm-hmm. if you were imitating some character that you grew up with, you had an idea in mind, and you did that voice, you'd do it differently than I would do it. But, you know, the essence of the character would be the same. So we all bring, you know, some of ourselves to whatever we're trying to produce. So they're different. But,
yes.
Yeah, we all take ideas from the world around us, I think, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I do. And any actor or actress will tell you that. A good actor or actress is observant. They notice what's going on around them in life.
Yeah, people think just because I have ADHD, I'm not paying attention, but that's not true. I'm just paying attention to a lot of things at the same time.
It's 10:15. You're listening to Mid-Morning on the WBCL Radio Network. I'm Lynn Ford, and I'm talking with Katie Lee. And if you joined us after the introduction, you might think, well, this is probably a teenager. No, this is a 53-year-old woman who is a voice actress out in California and best known probably for Adventures in Odyssey, but other jobs as well. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Let me say thanks to The Child Within, Dolls, Clothes, and Accessories, 13600 Mead Road in Montgomery, and Klein's CPA Group, 2826 Theater Avenue in Huntington. These good friends are helping to make our conversation with Katie Lee possible. Katie, this is just a curiosity question. How old are your kids?
24 to 17.
Okay, so when you were disciplining teenagers, did they listen to you when you were...
Theoretically disciplined?
Well, when you were talking to them very firmly as their mother in a very serious tone with your voice, did they listen to you?
It's difficult. No, I've learned to speak softly and carry a big stick. I use consequences more than my voice. Cause, yeah, you're right. I mean, I learned that when I was in Girl Scouts in high school because I was the one who had to report to the troop, like from the whole district, and I'd start giving my report. No one would pay attention, and the more they wouldn't pay attention, the more frustrated I would get and try to talk louder, and that didn't work. So I kind of, yeah, it's hard.
Let's talk about Adventures in Odyssey. It's still going strong. For those who aren't familiar with Adventures in Odyssey, give the story behind that, Katie, and then we'll talk about your role in this ongoing radio show.
Oh, how Adventures in Odyssey started?
Yeah, give the history, because there are some people that don't know what Adventures in Odyssey is.
Sure. Okay, well, as the way I understand it, and I was sort of in a part of the church at the same time, there was a lot of backlash in the Christian community about what kind of media was being offered on television and cartoons, and especially for family entertainment. It was sort of taking a turn that people weren't too happy with, and I guess Dr. Dobson had been talking to some people, and he came to the staff and said, you know, we are in radio. Hope we can produce something that's good for families, can't we? And that's how they ended up developing the idea for Adventures in Odyssey. And they did, and then eventually it became Adventures in Odyssey. I think they did five sort of trial shows mm-hmm. to see how they would be received, and it went over really well, and then they went back to the drawing board and created Odyssey in more, you know, more detail. And about that time I was at Focus, because I was also, like I said, a member of the church and a member of the, you know, cartoon animation world, and everybody was talking about, like, how bad things were, and I was thinking, God, I love what I do, but I want to do something good for you. And my heart was just wanting to be a part of it. And one day I was driving out to the same town where Focus was located at the time, and I was listening to Focus on the radio, and they were broadcasting one of those initial programs. And, oh, my goodness, I got so excited because I knew who one of the actors was. And I thought, jeepers creepers, they're using professional actors. And this is back in the day, Lynn, in the 80s. I drove to a telephone book, found where they were located, drove over there, knocked on the door, gave them my demo, and said, you know, if you really using professional actors over here, I want to be a part of what you're doing. And that's how I got to meet the people over there. And eventually, when they went back to the drawing board, I got Steve Harris, who helped create Odyssey, told me, we've created a park for you. And I was like, wow, that's great.
And here you are 25 years later.
And here I am. Who knew? Who knew? Yeah.
Tell our listeners about your character, Connie Kendall.
Well, Connie's not that much different from me, which makes it so easy. My husband said, how many people get to play themselves, get paid for it? But Connie, she started out, she went to the town of Odyssey. I think it was pretty soon after her parents got divorced, and she was about 16 looking for a job, and she ended up working at the soda fountain called Wits End, and she wasn't a believer at the time, and I was a pretty new believer when I started working on Odyssey, too, so I totally could relate to where Connie was coming from. Connie was from California. I'm from California. My parents were divorced, so, and she, you know, she ends up working there and getting to know the owner of the shop, Mr. Whitaker, who's a Christian, and he leads by example. And if you go back and listen to the episodes, there's a, I don't know if I should say, but there's a show called Connie 1 and Connie 2, and it's all about her accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior. But that happened probably about 20 years ago into the show. So she's still been learning to, you know, what it is to be a believer with each episode, and that she's in, and just like me, Katie, I'm learning every day too.
Katie, tell us your faith story. What led you to become a Christian?
You know, I was raised in as an Episcopalian, so we went to church every Sunday, and so I knew, you know, about Jesus, but I didn't really have a relationship with him. And it was in my 20s, after I'd already been a voice actress, that I moved and we went to a church, and that church had people who were studying the Bible. And I thought, oh, you know, it was a young people's group, so we joined to, you know, get to know people. And they were really taking the word seriously, and that encouraged me to seek the Lord more. And eventually we ended up at an evangelical church you know, got the opportunity to really commit my life to Jesus, and I got rebaptized. And it's not very dramatic. I'll tell you a funny story. We got baptized, and it was a big deal at that church, and I invited my mom because, she came, and people got, you know, they had a big hot tub, and we got baptized, and everybody got to say something. And I didn't have too much to say, but when I sat down, my mom said, she leaned over, she said, honey, a lot of these a lot of these people are like drug addicts and alcoholics. Is there something you're not telling me? No, Mom, I just, you know, really love Jesus.
Wow. Is there a particular verse, Katie, that's been instrumental for you in your faith life, one that's been an encouragement to you?
There are so many, Lynn. I mean, I already mentioned the joy of the Lord is my strength. There's, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, you know, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And then as a voice actress, I liked Ephesians 4:29. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their need. Because just because I like to talk doesn't mean everything I have to say is worthwhile saying.
Tell me what animated film character you wish you could have voiced. And it doesn't have to be a recent one. It could be anything you've ever seen. But what animated film character do you wish you could have voiced?
Well, any Pixar character would have been awesome, I think. But, you know, you're going to think this is funny, but I wish I could have been Mowgli in Jungle Book.
Really? Tell me why.
Well, because I like his voice and I like his character, and I wish I could do him. I mean, I just, you know, look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. I don't know. I just thought that's pretty classic character. So I do a lot of boy voices. I would like to be Mowgli.
And I think another reason you would like that part, Katie, is because it's very physical.
Yeah, maybe. And Thumper. I like Thumper and Bambi. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
You sound like Thumper.
I know. That's why I could have done it.
You could have done it.
I know.
You know, they need to do a remake and well, another Bambi. They could do a follow-up, and you could be Thumper. In fact, they have done that, haven't they, Katie? There's been a follow-up on Bambi.
It's possible.
Yeah,
it has been.
You
can't be everywhere at the right time. So, you know, I do my best. You can put in a good word for me if you hear anything.
So tell us what you're currently working on.
What am I currently working on? I'm currently, let's see, next Monday is the premiere of a show we just finished dubbing. And it's going to be on Sprout Channel called The Extraordinary Adventures of Poppycat. And that's at Bedtime Stories on Sprout. It's a cartoon about some little animals, and I do the voice of Zuzu the dog.
Okay.
I'm also doing voices for something called Kids Mag, which is a magazine for kids that they've made for the iPad. It's kind of like Highlights magazine for the iPad. I do all the voices for that. I work at home recording that, and the people who are producing it are actually in Argentina. The way the Internet works these days, I have clients.
Katie, are you still there? Katie, can you hear us? I think we've lost her. When I called Katie earlier, she had locked herself into the kitchen and couldn't get out. So it took us a little while to get on the phone. So I could really speculate about what could have happened just now. But delighted that Katie Lee was able to join us this morning. She's going to be speaking at Taylor University in their chapel on November 7th. Chapel starts at 10, but the recommendation is to get there early. Katie's back on 3. Miss Katie, where'd you go?
I don't, you know what, you know the story. I was supposed to be on a different phone, but locked myself in the kitchen.
Yes.
So we're using my cell phone. Who knows? Maybe they didn't want me to tell you what I'm working on.
No. But one of the things I do want to ask you before I let you go is, for anybody who would love to do what you do, to be a voice actor or actress, what advice would you give them? Especially in light of, with the Internet, and there seems to be so many more opportunities, and the world has shrunk so that you can be doing things like you do in California for somebody in Argentina.
Exactly. I mean, I work more than I ever did. I just get paid less. So you have to be prepared for that, because the market is open for anybody who wants to do voiceover, basically. But I would say read out loud. Read, you know, children's book. Read anything. Read the newspaper. Practice reading, because you got to do that. Learn, you know, what's going on in the world. Get used to, you know, words you might not recognize. Expand your vocabulary. Take acting lessons, especially improvisational theater, which is what I did, so you can be spontaneous. Because we get to the studio, they hand us our script. We don't get a lot of preparation like face actors do.
Mm-hmm.
Record yourself. Listen and go online. There is so much information online about voice acting anymore. There's workshops you can take from home. They aren't that expensive. There's books you can read. There's things you can listen to. So there's really no limit. There's no logistical limitation on voice acting anymore, pretty much, except, you know, if you want to work for Disney or something, you kind of need to be in Hollywood, which is why I'm still here, to be available to the big studios. But you know, there's no reason you can't get started someplace else.
And, Katie, how do you get your foot in the door for that? Who would you be contacting to get a job doing voiceover work?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one because there's a lot of, to be honest, union work and non-union work.
Okay.
If you want to get in the union, you need to get an agent. You need to make a demo, just like models have portfolios, voice actors make demo MP3s now. When I mm-hmm. when I went to Focus, it was a reel-to-reel, okay, but now they're MP3s. And you try to get somebody to represent you. You know, I'd say pray about it. Sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. And, you know, as you keep heading towards your goal, if that's really what you're supposed to do, I just believe God will open the door. Because I told you how I got into the union, and just mm-hmm. about every actor you talk to is going to give you a different story. We all did it somehow, but differently. You know, work, get in the theater, meet people who are ad agencies, you know, contact ad agencies in your area. And there's a few sites on the internet where you can actually put your voice up and mm-hmm. audition from home and get your, you know, feet in the door, get some practice, get clients and learn how to use your own, because most voice actors have to have their home studio these days. Hardly anybody can really survive now, and in the future it's going to be harder without being able to record yourself at home.
And that isn't as intimidating as it sounds.
It's not anymore. You know, mm-hmm. I went to school in broadcasting. We had big old, you know, soundboards and mixers. And, you know, basically when you're doing voiceover, all you need is a, you know, mono track. And this is technical. But, you know, luckily I do have that technical background. So mm-hmm. I'm not as intimidated as some of my friends who, you know, have always gone into their agent's office or gone somewhere to audition, and now they're faced with, you know, recording themselves, and that is a little scary. But I'm a little more comfortable with that than a lot of people. But I think the next generation, I mean, they're used to taking pictures of mm-hmm. themselves and recording themselves. It's a lot less difficult for, I think, this next generation to do what my generation's having to learn to do.
I was going to say, if you want to try to do it and you're getting confused, ask a 10-year-old.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, my son totally hooked me up. Made my when he was 10, he was helping me do stuff. So he's 24 now, so I'm just catching up with him.
Katie Lee, you are a delight. Your website is katielee.com, KATIELEIGH, down at Taylor for their chapel on November 7th. Chapel starts at 10, but seats go quickly, so get there a little bit early if you'd like to hear her in person. It was so nice to meet you, Katie. Thanks for joining us for mid-morning.
Woo-hoo! Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Katie. It's 10:31. You're listening to mid-morning.